Who do you want to be over the next 5 days? Evaluate for a second the type of person you want to become. Who do you want to be in 5 days from now? Who do you want to be in a month from now, or in a year from now, and 5 years from now? What's your goal? Somebody's like, well, I'm not a goal setter. Okay, but yeah, you have an idea of what you want to do. What if the answer to that question is, in a month from now, and 5 months from now, and 5 years from now, and 20 years from now, I want to strive to become a person who lives pleasing to the Lord. That's a goal. That's a plan. How many here have a lot going on in your life? Raise your hand right now. All right, good. Some of you didn't. I want to know your secret, why your hand wasn't raised. How many of you have more than one thing going on in your life right now? More than two things? More than three? Five. Do I have a 20? Anybody with a 20? We just have a lot going on, right? How many know that when we have a lot going on, it can be a little stressful? You know what I'm talking about? And then we all handle our stress a little bit differently, don't we? Some of us overeat. That's me. Well, actually, I just overeat all the time. But specifically when I'm stressed, I overeat, and food. If I'm stressed, especially if I'm alone, I'm not a very, I like to be alone guy. So when I'm not alone, my friend is food. Anybody? Give me an amen for that. Yeah, that's me. I know why you come here, some of you, because it's the donuts. It has nothing to do with worship or the teaching. It's the donuts. The other day I was at the doctor's, and the first thing that they make you do with the doctors now, well, at least for me, because I hate going to the doctors, is they weigh you. And they say, Mr. Elliott, would you please come with me? Yeah, okay, great, nice to see you, great. Would you please step on the scale? It's like, first of all, I'm already stressed out for being here, and now you want to make it a depressing visit too. And then they mess with your mind because they don't weigh you in pounds anymore, they weigh you in kilograms. And she's like, okay, you're 97.7 kilograms. I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, I'll have to tell you in the room. Please, this way. I can't say it out loud in the hallway because other people might hear. And then she's calculating for, doing Common Core math for 15 minutes to try and figure out how to tell me how much I weigh. A lot. That's really what it came down to. You know, all of us handle the stresses in life differently. Some people overeat, some people undereat. Some people, undereaters are like, no, I'm too busy to eat right now. I'm not hungry. I'm too stressed right now. I don't have an appetite. I'm exactly the opposite. Some people have outbursts of anger. Some of you, if you remember the old school movie, What About Bob? They say, well, what you need to do is you need to go on vacation. I'm on vacation. And that's you. You've got the perma scowl. Anybody know anyone with a perma scowl? Right? Anybody sitting next to that person? Thank you for not raising your hand. I would have had to sign people up for counseling appointments afterwards. What I'm talking about this morning is stress. Everyone say stress. All of us deal with stress in different ways, but all of us have stress at different levels in our life. And as we finish up this series, Hope Wins, next week I'll be starting a new series through the book of Hebrews, but today we're going to finish off with this. I think all of us deal with it in some level or another, and that's this: hope wins over stress. Hope wins over stress. We got it on, there we go. Hope wins over stress. And here's the funny thing about stress. Stress steals what God wants to heal. Every single time, stress steals what God wants to heal. And do you know what the number one thing is that God wants to heal in your life? Your relationship with Jesus. The number one thing God is always working on in your life is your relationship with Him. It's not all the issues you have going on. It's the number one thing is, how are you relating to the Lord? So we think about that in our life and our relationship with Him. Some of you, your stress is so deep and so overwhelming, it's affecting your health. It's affecting your job. It's affecting your relationship and your marriage. And ultimately, it's affecting your relationship with God. And when it affects your relationship with God, it affects every single aspect of your life, because your spirit is not in the right condition. Stress can wreak havoc, and it steals those things that God wants to heal in our life. Oftentimes we get too busy And the stress of life, we've got too many balls in the air, my plate is full, all of the things we say, right? And because of that, we don't have time for God, we don't have time for his house, we don't have time for the things he wants us to really do in life. And then God becomes something on the back burner. So what I want to answer this morning is this: how can I win over stress? How can I win over stress? If hope really does win over stress, how can I make it personal? How can I live this out on my in my daily life so that it becomes something that actually has life becomes a joy to me? How many know stress can make life really not very fun? So I'm going to give you something this morning. I hope you write it down and you're taking some notes. And that's this: if you want to have, you know, win over stress, I want you to do this one thing. I want you to live for an audience of one. Live for an audience of one. Now, I'm going to help some of you, because the one I'm talking about is not you. Some of you are like, wow, I just need to live for myself a little more. No, that's your problem already. But I want you to live for an audience of one. And who is the one we live for? Well, we live for Jesus. Everybody read this out loud for me. Ready? One, two, three. I just want to be super clear. I want you to live for Jesus. Because there comes a paradigm shift in your life when you start to make him your priority. All of a sudden, the worries of life don't seem to be so powerful because I'm focused on him who is the ultimate power, Jesus Christ. You see, the one that you live for will determine what you live like. Because some of the way in which we live is so selfish and so self-centered, we can't even see past ourselves. But when we focus on him, it now changes the way in which I live my life, and I start focusing on things that should have been priority for me all along. All along. See, if you're living for yourself, then you'll live a very selfish life. Anyone here ever been selfish? You live a very selfish life, and the problem with living a selfish life is you're never going to be happy with you. Because you realize you're never going to measure up to your standard, and you have a very high standard for yourself. And the problem is, too, that if we start living for, you know, the approval of others, then we basically get into this kind of pickle, if you will, that we're never going to make everyone else happy. I'm never going to be able to please everyone. It's impossible. And so I can't really live for myself, and I can't really live for others. That means I really need to get set in my life some priorities. Everyone say priorities. To help us overcome stress this morning, I'm going to give you four priorities to help eliminate stress in your life. And when I say eliminate, I really do mean it. I believe that the things we're going to talk about this morning are really going to help you to drastically reduce to the point of elimination of stress in your life. And so we're gonna learn them today, and I want you to write down number one, because here it is. If you're going to eliminate stress in your life, you need to prioritize the person you're pleasing. Prioritize the person you're pleasing. How many of you know you just can't please everyone? Okay? Who still cooks at home? There we go. Yes. All you granola people. Who here drives out or drives through In-N-Out? Who here drives through In-N-Out? There we go. Yeah. Like, yeah. I didn't even have to cook. Watched other people do it. Such a stress relief. You know, if you cook for people, or even if you go out, how many know it's impossible to pick the meal that everyone will like? It's impossible to pick the restaurant everyone will like. You guys are so needy. You want your own things. You can't please everybody. If you try to make group A happy, group B is going to be really ticked off. And if you try to make group B happy, then group A is going to be really mad. I just, in 2 seconds, described to you pastoral ministry. Because if you preach exegetical, then the topical people aren't going to be happy. And if I preach topical, then the exegetical people aren't going to be happy. And if I use the NIV, the people who love the ESV aren't going to be happy. And if I use the ESV, then the people of the New King James Version aren't going to be happy. And there's no pleasing King James people. You just can't win. I quit. It's too much stress. We can't live to please ourselves, and we can't live to please other people. Here's what Jesus said about it. John chapter 5, he says, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I prioritize the person that I'm pleasing. I don't live to please myself, and I don't live to please others, but him. Jesus said that. And Jesus is already pleasing to God. If you think about your life and how you're living it right now, who are you trying to please in your life? Just take a real gut check for a minute. Who are you trying to please? I'm trying to please my spouse, I'm trying to please my kids, I'm trying to please my boss. All these things, and they cause pressure. What if you made pleasing God your priority? If you prioritize the person that you're pleasing, it'll make all the other relationships in your life way less stressful. Because when you prioritize Jesus in your life and you live for an audience of one, it now naturally affects all the other relationships. Because you change. You change. And you become a person who's pleasing to the Lord. Now, I want to be clear for some of you, because you don't live pleasing to God to make God love you more. He already loves you unconditionally. Now, he loves us out of our sin. He doesn't love us to just say, oh, you're okay, just, you know, keep doing what you're doing. He loves us into a new way of life, a new life, to be born again, the Bible says. And so God loves us so much, even while we were sinners, he says, listen, I'm going to draw you to myself. And as he does that, he says, I want you now to live for me. Because in living for me, you'll really understand what true peace is. Who do you want to be over the next 5 days? Evaluate for a second the type of person you want to become. Who do you want to be in 5 days from now? Who do you want to be in a month from now, or in a year from now, and 5 years from now? What's your goal? Somebody's like, well, I'm not a goal setter. Okay, but yeah, you have an idea of what you want to do. What if the answer to that question is, in a month from now, and 5 months from now, and 5 years from now, and 20 years from now, I want to strive to become a person who lives pleasing to the Lord. That's a goal. That's a plan. And it's good. Paul told the church in Galatians chapter 1, he said, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of who, church? Of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. See, we get it so backwards. I'm trying to please everyone when the person I really should be focused on pleasing is God. See, when I start to please God, the way I talk changes, the way I think changes, the way I act changes, the way I love changes. Why? Because I'm connected to him in deeper relationship than ever before, and it radically transforms my life. I don't live to win the approval of people, but God. I just got done reading the book of Daniel just a couple months ago, and I've read it several times. And one of the things that just really stuck out at me this time was when the angels would come and visit and give a message to Daniel, they would say this one thing over and over to him, Daniel, you are highly favored. And I started making that my prayer. God, I want to be that person in your eyes. I want to be a person who's highly favored and highly looked upon as a person who is living for the Lord and not for myself. I'm living for an audience of one. Romans puts it this way. It says, I appeal to you to offer yourselves as living sacrifices to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. So I'm living to, as a sacrifice to God, right? Dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Pleasing to who? To him. To who? Who is it? To God. Right? So I'm living for an audience of one. And when I do that, man, it just makes all the other things way less stressful in my life. Why? Because I'm focused on the one priority I should have had in my life the whole time. Jesus. Jesus. The other way to help reduce your stress this morning is this. You got to prioritize your perception. How many have ever just seen things in a wrong way? Boy, I didn't see that right. If you pull out of the parking lot here and you take a left on Yanez Court, and then you take a left on Yanez Road, and then you take a right on Rancho California Road, you will come to the intersection of the 15 freeway. If you go north or if you go south, you cannot help but within a few moments see how much construction is going on. How many know what I'm talking about? There's work on the freeway. They're putting up apartments everywhere. And then if you keep going north, you come to Hell's Interchange, which is where the 15 and the 91 and the 60 and whatever roads all come together. How many know that road? Okay, some of you are stressed just when I said the words 91. You're like, okay, and they got all kinds of construction going on, and they've got, you know, this thing going that way and this thing going that way, and freeways are coming from every which way, and you're panicked, and you're kind of like, I don't even know how teenagers can survive through this interchange. This is why so many teenagers go missing. It's on the 91. It's chaos. And you've got people getting pulled over here and somebody with a flat tire over there, and you've got a guy zigzagging in and out of the thing because he thinks his Dodge Charger is super cool, and he's driving around. And you're like, oh. For some of you, I have just described your brain. Your brain is like a freeway. It's like a highway with all these interchanges and freeways and connections and interpasses, and it's like, oh my gosh, and over here somebody's Tommy Bahama chair flew out of their truck and it's landed on the side of your brain, right? And over here somebody's missing a shoe and you're driving down the road like, how did they lose a shoe here? You know what I'm talking about. And you got some weirdo swerving in and out, and you're like, I don't know. It's your brain. And some of you, in your brain, you even got somebody driving the wrong way. You have to prioritize your perception. Otherwise, your thoughts and your brain activity and your neurons are firing on the wrong cylinders. You need to prioritize what you're thinking about. It's overwhelming. Kids in the back seat need a snack and their $1,400 iPhone stopped working. They don't get reception. I got to make it to soccer, and I got to make it to softball, and I got to do travel sports, or I'm not going to be a good parent. I got to do all these things. It's stress, stress, stress. What if you started focusing your mind on an audience of one? See, the book of Philippians tells us this. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, that's you, by the way. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable. Doesn't just hearing those things sound like, yeah, I wish that was my brain? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What if I started holding my thoughts captive instead of letting them run away like a freeway? I started like saying, okay, God, I'm going to start focusing on the things that you want me to focus on. I'm going to start putting my thoughts in order, saying whatever's excellent or praiseworthy, I'm going to start thinking and meditating on those things. I discipline my mind to focus on godly things. See, the prophet Isaiah told us this. He said, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts, everyone say thoughts, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And we fix our mind on Jesus Christ, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He says he keeps us in perfect peace who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed. In other words, I'm thinking for an audience of one. that my mind and my thought process would be pleasing to the Lord. When was the last time that you sat down and you started thinking and meditating just on God? You know, we wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, I gotta make it to here, and I gotta go to Walmart, and Lord, that's stressful. And then I gotta go here, and then I gotta go there, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, and where the worries of today and the worries of tomorrow build up, and all of a sudden my neck starts to get tense, and my shoulders start to get tense, and I don't sleep, and I got a tension headache, and I start taking ibuprofen, and you know, and all these things, and it's just overwhelming. What if in the morning you just woke up and God, I'm just gonna meditate on you. I'm gonna fix my thoughts and my eyes on you. And what if you started thinking and meditating on God's word? Bible says when you do that, you become like a tree planted by streams of living water, and your roots grow deep. And you grow up high and tall, and you start to bear fruit. Why? Because you're trusting God, thinking on God's word. When was the last time you started sitting around meditating, God, what is your plan for my life? You're really good at trying to make plans for your life. How many would give me a mm-hmm for that? You're really good at making plans for your life. And they're almost always never God's plan. What if you started saying, God, what's your plan? Let me think on that for a while. What would you like me to do? James later on says, you know, that watch out, you people who say, I'm going to go to this city or that city and I'm going to start a business and make money. He says, all such planning is evil. What you should say is, if it's God's will. God, what do you want me to do? And I prioritize my perception for an audience of one so that I say, God, let what I think and the desires of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Let your mind think on things that would please him. How can you win over stress? Prioritize the person you're pleasing. Prioritize your perception. And I love this one. Prioritize your precious pennies. I was really proud when I came up with that point. The alliteration, I was like, yeah. It's a whole new level of preaching. Prioritize your precious pennies. In the famous Tolkien book, The Hobbit, Gollum, one of the characters, finds the Ring of Power, and he keeps it to himself. He's so excited about it. He doesn't know it's a Ring of Power, but it's gold, and it's beautiful, and it's got this weird power over Gollum's life. And he keeps it for years, hundreds of years, in fact. And he changes, his body changes, and his voice changes, but all the time he's got this Ring of Power. And he holds it among his hands, and he's like, my precious. It's mine. And it eventually destroys his life. Some of you, that's your money. Some of you, that's how you think about your money. You hold it so closely and so tightly that it just becomes something that overwhelms you. You just strive to get more. I cannot tell you how many threads come through my Instagram that are telling me how to become a millionaire. And I think to myself, well, if you were a millionaire, why are you spending time making Instagram videos? And we hold our money out. We pull our big $5 bill out. It's all I've got. It's all my wife would let me have. And I'm like, oh, my precious. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. And you covet it, and you look on your bank account, and you're like, it's mine. It's so powerful when I have lots of it. And we worry about it, and we stress about it, and then we don't have enough for ourselves, we get in debt. And we swipe the card. Somebody just told me yesterday, they were talking, and their little son said, hey, I want to get that. And he's, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8. And he goes, no, we're not going to get that. And he says, Well, mommy just swipes the card. Every day. You need to prioritize your precious pennies. Oftentimes, money becomes, there is no end to fights. Who here has ever gotten an argument about money? Just raise your hand right now, okay? Some of you are so liars. You're like, no, never. Yes, you have. So, we've all had some sort of argument or tiff about money, okay? Because it's such a thing in our life. Here's our problem with money, and James points it out. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this about money in James chapter 4. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Anyone? You ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In other words, you want more money for just yourself so that you can have more stuff. So you've got money upside down because you think it's a precious thing for you and that it's really for you. The Bible actually tells us that God gives man the ability to gain wealth. Did you know that? Do you know that the only reason that you are good at your job is because God has given you the ability to do the things that you can do to get a paycheck? Some of you think, well, I'm so smart, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. The only reason you're good at it is because of him. And so the only way I can make money is because God's given me the ability to do it. Thank you, Jesus. So I have to prioritize my pennies and not be selfish with those things. Hebrews says this about money. It says, don't love money. Can we all say that out loud? Don't love money. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. In other words, God's saying, listen, the most important thing is the audience of one. The most important thing is not that we have this whole mindset in America, well, man, you got to get rich and just live the free life. You can travel and not have to worry about money. Listen, there's a supernatural aspect of being content with where God has you right now. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a hard worker. It doesn't mean you shouldn't strive and you shouldn't try to, you know, do better and better, improve yourself. There's nothing wrong with having nice things, nothing wrong with being successful, but those things should come after I live for an audience of one. In other words, my first priority is that everything in my life, including my finances, would be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. How about this in 1 Timothy? When Paul was writing to his young protege, the pastor Timothy, he said this about money. He said in 1 Timothy 6:17, command. Everyone say command. See, we pastors would get in a lot of trouble if I literally did this. Hey, you. You who are rich. And this, you right here in this sanctuary. Don't be arrogant. And put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He says, command God's people. Command. In other words, prioritize your pennies that God would be first in your finances, that God would be the priority, that I manage the resources God has given me, whether little or a lot, for God's glory. And for God's kingdom and for his purpose. One of the greatest ways that you can keep money from ruling over your life is to become a giver, to be a generous person. Say, oh God, how would you want me to give? How would you want me to be generous? Because money, Jesus said you can't serve both God and money. You can't do that. There can only be one audience. It can't be money. It has to be God. Decide in your family that you're going to get out of debt. Why? Not so that you can have more stuff, but so that you could become a good steward of what God's given you, and you could become more generous. Because you can't take it with you when you go. I worked at a funeral home for many years while I was going through Bible college, and there was a guy one time who so much loved his Harley Davidson that he died, and he was buried with it. Some of you are convicted just by me saying that. Except for now, some of you it will be your electric bike. Oh. Too far, Pastor, too far. Prioritize your precious pennies. The third one is this, prioritize your people. If you want to live with less stress, prioritize your people. I'm going to say this as clearly as I can possibly say it. You are not meant to live life alone. You are not meant to do life alone. You are not meant to live out your faith alone. Think about if you've read the book of Genesis and God creates the heavens and the earth, and he creates light and sun, moon, and stars. He says it's good. He creates the water. It's good. He creates the earth. It's good. He creates the animals. It's good. He creates the birds of the air. It's good. God's like, man, this is good. He creates Adam. It's good. There's only one thing in all of creation God said wasn't good. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So he creates a helper, he creates a companion, his wife, Eve. And then later on, God creates community, and he creates the church, the body of Christ, all these aspects in which we're supposed to do life together within community with one another. And a lot of times when we're stressed and we're overwhelmed with life, what happens is we want to pull back. Why can't I just too busy for that? Or I got too much going on. Or you know what? I just don't have time for people. Or I'm an introvert. Or we say all kinds of crazy things. And I understand there's different personalities. Some people are more outgoing. Some people are introverted. I get it. But a lot of times, I've seen this in almost 25 years of ministry, how many times people get overwhelmed with life and the first thing that they sacrifice is time with God's people. Happens every time. Happens every time. We're supposed to help one another. In fact, Galatians says this, help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ. In other words, Jesus took all my burdens to the cross. It's only fitting that I help to carry other people's burdens who are struggling. Do you ever think that you are needed in someone else's life? There's someone that needs you to encourage them and love them. We always think in the introverted way. We say, gosh, I just need somebody. And that might be the case. I need somebody to encourage me. I need a friend. And that might very well be the case. But what if you started first thinking about it this way? God, who would you want me to encourage? How could I be an ambassador for you? How could I be a person who loves other people? If you do that, you will never be lacking in friends. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian in World War II, her and her family hid Jews from the Nazis until they were finally arrested and sent to death camps. She became very famous in the Christian world. Her dad and her sister were killed in the Nazi death camps, and she later on just became a preacher of Jesus. And she said this, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. See, there's power in living for an audience of one. Jesus even said it this way in Matthew 11. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, there's this rest that comes when we prioritize God in every area of our life, even in our budget, with our relationships, with our time, with our thoughts. And we say, okay, God, I want my whole being, I want to offer my body as a living sacrifice to you, holy and pleasing, because I know this is the true way to worship you. Stressful things are going to come. They're just going to happen. But when I'm focused on him, they don't become a God in my life. They don't become a God. I want to pray for you. I want you to bow your heads for a minute. You know, one of the greatest ways in which we can eliminate some of the stress in our life is to surrender our life to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. You have never come under his authority, and you've never started a relationship with him. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've been prioritizing other things. Maybe God is just a new thing to you. Don't you know that God loves you? That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross and pay for your sins so that you might have a new life in him. I want to pray for you this morning. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you'd like to this morning, all I'm going to ask you to do is just raise your hand and we're going to pray together. Is anybody here that would like to do that? We unashamedly ask this every weekend because we don't want anybody to miss out on a saving relationship with Jesus. Maybe this morning you're here and stress is just, it's killing you. It's eating you. like a cancer. It's just consuming your life. So worried about what's going on, the what ifs. I want to pray for you right now. I just want you to lift your hand right now. Say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. I got a lot of stress. A lot of things overwhelming me. Yep, lots of hands. God, we come to you right now, the God of peace. Help us to begin to live our lives so that it would be pleasing to you. Lord, in the worries and the stresses of this world, Lord, we would surrender to you because you've really got it under control anyways. Lord, I pray for everyone who raised their hands this morning and even those that didn't, God, that you would move in their life and give them peace, a peace that passes understanding, God, because you are the one we should be living for. Lord, we know that in you, hope always wins. And we thank you for the goodness that you've given us today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.